Now, Evangelist Winston Time.
Thank you. The Word of God at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This statement is a positive declaration of this effectiveness of the gospel to salvation. Paul affirms that the gospel of Christ is universal. It is without distinction of Jew or Gentile. The gospel is the powerful means determined by God for the salvation of all who believe and obey it. Salvation of the soul from the guilt and condemnation of sin is so difficult that God's power is required to accomplish it. The gospel is God's only power for salvation. Therefore, he who rejects the gospel rejects salvation. We are saved by the gospel, or we will never be saved at all. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the great fundamental truth of the gospel. The gospel is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in order to salvation. He that believes not shall be damned. There are many who stop short at belief. He who would be saved cannot be saved by belief alone. To belief, he must add obedience. In the Word of God, belief and obedience forever stand the inseparable conditions of salvation. Both Jews and Greeks have sinned. It is significant to remember that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. The word glory in this passage means honor. The thought is that all have sinned and thereby failed to honor God. We are all alike being guilty of sin, and we are all alike in that we are under condemnation. Let me repeat that all must be saved by the gospel of Christ. To those, on the contrary, who deny that they have sinned, to these we say, you must know that they who so speak deceive themselves. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. This statement points up the fallacy of self-righteous pride, which prompts a person to deny that he has incurred guilt by sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. By thus denying that we have sinned, we do not only deceive ourselves, but make God a liar, and his word has no place in our hearts. Now, the gospel not only reveals that we have sinned, but it propounds a remedy unto us. We have sinned, but we need not despair, for the gospel of Christ is God's power to save us from our sins. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Calling upon the Lord in prayer is not proof of one's acceptance with God. Jesus taught that prayer, attended by doing the will of the Father, secures the favor of God. Sinless obedience is an impossibility, but we must comply with the conditions on which sins are forgiven. Two builders are used to illustrate the lesson. Both represent men who hear the sayings of Jesus, those who hear and do, and those who hear and do not. The wise man who built his house upon a rock represents those who hear and do. The foolish man who built his house upon the sand represents those who hear and do not. Matthew the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27. We are in constant danger of self-deception. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, declared, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." James chapter 1, verse 22. It is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work that shall be blessed in his deed. It is possible for a person to be insensitive to the word of God. It is the deceitfulness of sin that hardens the heart. The Apostle Paul said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. God is not to be mocked or offended with freedom from punishment. We reap the fruits of that which we sow. We have been deceived when we think we can mock God by sowing one thing and reaping something different. We are deceived by sin when our sinful ways do not appear to us as being sinful. The prophet warned of those who called evil good and good evil, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. The changing of the label does not change the character of a thing. The covetous man may deceive himself by calling his covetousness thrift, but it is idolatry in the sight of God, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. No one is to deceive himself by resting on the vain opinion of his own wisdom. The wisdom of this world is not superior to that which the Word of God reveals. Sowing the seed of the kingdom is like a man sowing seed in a field. We see the likeness in the parable of the sower. Jesus illustrates and indicates points of resemblance. It is called a parable because it is taken from an actual occurrence. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 8. A sower went forth to sow, and some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, and because they had not root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. The parable of the sower is explained at Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. He that receives seed by the wayside is one who hears the word of the kingdom, but he does not understand the word. Then he allows the devil to take it away. The man who receives the word in stony places is one who not only hears the word, but receives it with joy. He endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he stumbles and falls away from the word which he had received with joy. The man who received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. The man in pursuit of wealth is in danger from the deceitfulness of riches. Riches are deceitful, having the tendency or disposition to deceive. The man represented by the good ground not only hears the word, but he understands it, and he differs from all in that he alone beareth fruit. Preaching the word of God is sowing the seed of the kingdom. The statement, "Preach the gospel," at Mark chapter 16, verse 15, has the same meaning as "preach the word" at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. These statements from the word of God have moved us and motivated us to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Apostle Peter spoke imperatively when he said, "Speak as the oracles of God," 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Consequently, the preacher of the gospel is not concerned with the doctrines and commandments of men. The Apostle Paul would have nothing to do with the hidden things of dishonesty, nor would he walk in craftiness. He was not one to be accused of handling the word of God deceitfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Faithfulness to the word of God demands that we beware, lest any lead us astray through philosophy and vain deceit. The ever-present false teacher should ponder the question at Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Shall I be pure with wicked balances and with a bag of deceitful weights? God bless you, my friend.